we extend a warm welcome to our listeners today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
One of Jesus' disciples once requested, "Lord, teach us to pray." I'd like to add just a bit. Lord, teach me to pray, especially for myself. That's our sermon theme today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that once again we can gather our thoughts around your word and listen as one of God's great children told us how to pray. He showed us what is needed in the prayers for ourselves. Grant that we may learn from him as he speaks to us through that inspired word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God's Son, has made me free.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Just as I am without one, please, but let my heart worship for me. And let the peace we come to thee, O Lamb of God, thy calm.
Friends in Christ. A highly decorated veteran of the Vietnam War was asked not long ago on television, were there ever times when in battle that you were frightened? And the soldier of the past turned to the person interviewing him and said, frightened? There were times when I was so afraid, and I prayed so hard and so often that God got to know me on a first name basis. Well, it's understandable, isn't it, that when we are in death's way and all else has failed to deliver us from danger, that we turn to God. I don't believe that that is wrong. In fact, as I read Jesus' words, I think that he invited us to do just that. But he also made it very clear to us that there is a lot more to prayer, praying for ourselves, than using it just as a last resort. Once, according to St. Luke's Gospel, there was a disciple who asked Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? I'd like to add a bit to that statement today, make it just a little bit more subjective. Lord, would you teach me how to pray? Would you teach me how to pray specifically for myself? And that's a thought that I'd like to talk to you about today in this sermon. I think that the Lord could very well say, sure, I'll be glad to teach you how to pray for yourself. We have an example of this in the 51st Psalm, where King David is praying for himself. Let's take a look at it. If you go to verses 3 and 4 and 5 of Psalm 51, this is what you hear David praying. God, I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Now, what is the first part of his prayer? He's praying, Lord, knock down my defenses and give me an honest picture of myself. Have you ever prayed that way for yourself? You see, that's more than just asking for some of the more materialistic types of things that we'd like to have in our lives. Lord, knock down my defenses and give me an honest picture of myself. Lord, help me to understand, as David understood, what kind of a nature he really had. Help me to understand what all human nature is. It is this, that we are born in sin, that we are by nature sinful, that we are absolutely helpless. And that's quite a bit different than what we see in our culture today that is so prevailing in humanism, where the people are told that they are basically good. And so we would pray, God, keep me from this false understanding of human nature, that people who make no claim of being Christians can do some marvelous acts of kindness is no surprise. But that doesn't mean that the nature is good. I sometimes sit back and look at my friends and other people who I know are not Christian, and I see how they conduct their lives, and in many, many ways, it is just very, very fine. It is so easy at that point for me to slip into believing that maybe God's word and maybe the teachings of his church are wrong when we say that human being is basically sinful. That's the cultural position, and it's all around us. But I tell you, my friend, the word of God says differently. And so together with David, we need to pray. We need to pray, oh God, help me to understand how I came into this world with a sinful nature in need of the Holy Spirit's work in my life. If you turn again to that verse 3, you see here that David is telling us a little bit about how that sinful nature produced certain types of lifestyle within his own being. In verse 3, he says, "For I know my transgression. My sin is always before me." He goes on to say in the other parts of this psalm, "Surely, O God, you only, against only you have I sinned. I haven't sinned so much against other people. Oh, I've done that too. But the critical thing is that I have sinned against you." Don't you think that that is a means whereby we ought to take a look at our own lives? And don't you think perhaps we ought to say, "God, give me a conviction of my sin. Show me that what I am doing is wrong. Take away from me these ideas that I can justify what I am doing. God in heaven, help me to understand that my sin can hurt other people, and for that I am very, very sorry. But more than that, O God, I know that I have sinned against you." That's one part of our prayer life for ourselves that needs to be worked on a great deal. I think that God would have heard on to say, take a look at David now and see what he's also saying. Notice he says, "Show me that I am in need of grace. And then, O God, bathe me in your grace. Don't leave me with my sin. That would leave me in terrible shape, God. But bathe me in your grace." Listen to the way he says it. "Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. God, hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities." Now let me ask you, friend, do you often pray that way for yourself? Oh, I know that many of you do. But if you haven't, then don't you think that it is time to pray, "God, I know that I'm a sinner. Your Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And I know that you have granted me the forgiveness of that sin. But build within me a faith. And then give me a comfort and a peace in being able to accept this great truth. That if I have confessed my sins and I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, who at the cross of Calvary has paid the price for my sins, then help me know that they are forgiven and that there is nothing that I can do to contribute to that atonement at all. Give me the gospel. Let me hear it. Holy Spirit, come and drive it into my heart." For then we know, as he says in verse 8, when that forgiveness has come, then there will be within our hearts joy. There will be joy and there will be gladness. And then it will be that we can hear him say, "I have restored to you the joy of your salvation. And I grant you a willing spirit to sustain me." Oh, how we need to hear first, "Knock down my defenses." But oh, how we need to hear again. We need to hear, "Lord, bathe me in your grace." We need to hear that prayer coming from our own lips, that God can grant it to us and we can live with that joy. The joy of knowing that we are your children forever, God. The joy of knowing that when we are forgiven and when we walk with you, our joy comes in living for you and not being displeasing in all that comes from our being. Well, he goes on and he says, "Lord, when you have broken down my defenses, and you have shown me that I am a sinner. And when you have lifted me up and you have bathed me in the grace of God to know that I am a forgiven sinner, then, Lord, I have another request. Have you ever prayed this prayer, friend? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence, and please, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, friend, it's pretty important that once that sin is forgiven, that we seek to let God empower us to overcome those sins, lest we fall back into them again and again. Pretty important words. Here they are. Create in me a clean heart, O God. For our scripture reading today, before the sermon, I use that beautiful passage that comes from the prophet Jeremiah. You recall it perhaps from your Bible reading, how Jeremiah went down into the potter's house, and there he watched as the potter shaped the pot. He took the clay in his hand, and he shaped it exactly the way that he wanted it to be, the way that it seemed best to him. And then God says to Jeremiah, "You tell the people this, O Israel, can I not do with you as a potter has done?" In other words, our prayer for ourselves along the way ought to be, friend, God, will you shape me to do your will? I live in a world out there, God, that is anxious to shape me according to the way that things are moving there. But that is not the way I want to be. You shape me, God. What does that mean, friend? It means, for example, that if there is in my heart today hatred, my prayer must be, take that away, God. Take it away and replace it with love. If, for example, I am a very, very self-centered person, and I don't know about you, but I often find that all too often in my life, there I need to pray, God, will you take that self-centeredness away and help me to get outside of myself? Help me to be concerned about other people. Help me, O God, that I'm not just trying to put another luxury into my home or another trip to some part of the world, that that is not necessarily the top priority, but rather it is to help those who are round about me. Help me, O God, to understand the brevity of life, especially as it can be contrasted with eternity. And then give me a sound set of values, knowing what is and what is not important. Do you ever pray that way, friend? God, I'm only going to be here for a short time. I know my Aunt Nellie lived to be 90. And perhaps my genes are good enough that I'll get there too, or maybe even 91 or 92, but it's still pretty short in comparison with eternity. So God, in Christ Jesus, may I be ready. May I be ready to enter the kingdom of God in the heavenly mansions. But O God, while I walk here on this earth, give me an understanding of what is really important as far as you are concerned. And then finally, if that is true, then God, as David had prayed and you had answered it, his tongue was loosed, and he sang to the people of his day of your righteousness. Do you ever pray that for yourself, friend? Give me a verbal witness that as I stand with my friends and my relatives, I can point them to Jesus Christ, and I can cause them to know that he is the one who has not only broken down my defenses, he is not only the one who has bathed me in his grace, but he is the one who has made me a new person. And if there's anything that I need, it is, oh God, make me new every day. That's why we need to pray, oh Lord, come into our hearts. Be with us. Forgive us and use us. A part of our prayer life is certainly to pray for ourselves and far beyond those material things that we would so like to have. I'd like to close this part of the service by letting you listen to George Beverly Shea as he sings that great old gospel song that many of us sang at Bible camps when we were kids. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Amen.
Have thine own.
Father in heaven, it is our prayer today, that picture which you have given of the potter and the clay may be applicable in our lives, that you who have granted us forgiveness and have restored us into fellowship with you may have that opportunity to mold us and make us, that we may be living witnesses of yours, finding our comfort and our joy and our peace in knowing that we are yours for all eternity. Bless us to that end, O God, and we invoke your blessings upon all of those who are sick and those for whom death draws nigh. Give to them a rich measure of your forgiving love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We hope our service today will give you strength and peace for the upcoming week ahead. Share the word of Christian Crusaders with a friend, a relative, or a neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light, so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry. Please consider a donation or a memorial for a loved one. Gifts are used to spread the gospel over the radio in 12 states nationwide and the internet. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.